What's up, comic book fans? Pete here from Comic Books Transformed, where we talk about your favorite comic book shows that are adaptations that have been turned into streaming shows and movies. This time around, we are talking about Loki Season 2, Episode 5, right?
No, isn't it 4?
Oh, okay, 4. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. You know, Brian and I have been covering Doom Patrol and also Gen V, and those shows are a bit further ahead. They're almost over. Loki's just kind of in the midpoint, though, right?
No, Brian? They're both kind of almost over.
Oh, Loki's almost over, too?
Yeah, isn't there only I think there's only 6 episodes.
Oh, shit, that's right. It's not as long as the other ones.
Literally, everything is going to end the same week. So all 3 of these shows are ending the same way. No, wait, Gen V ends next week.
Okay.
We have two each of Doom Patrol and Loki. So, okay.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny, Brian, because, I mean, guys, you know, this isn't any kind of spoiler, but Brian and I are just doing like a marathon recording. We just did Doom Patrol this morning, and now we're going on to Loki. And don't you think that Loki almost borrows a page from Doom Patrol, Brian, where, like, it's just so involved in its own mythology and so weird at this point that, like, it's not as like connected to the MCU as it is like its own weird mythology.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle piece got mixed in the box from another puzzle.
Oh, good metaphor. And that even ties into our Doom Patrol conversation too.
Yes.
Straight up, here's my thing. I want to talk about things that just stand out for me. Do you feel like Loki is just like a straight up fucking hero at this point?
Yeah. Honestly, yes. I think he's almost progressed more than the original Loki did in a way, because he's trying to save the entire existence of the multiverse at this point. And that's his one goal. And although he's really just driven by his feelings for Sylvie. Mm-hmm. I almost said selfie. I don't know why.
Well, is it kind of appropriate too? Yeah. Selfie.
Yeah. There you go. That's right.
Right.
He's kind of sort of, I mean, initially he was really driven by that, which is sort of selfish, but I think it's kind of grown there. But beyond that, I think he cares about more than just her now. Like, yeah. I think you'd want to save Mobius and OB and all the other people too. Maybe not wrestling.
Yes. You know, it's funny because this show kind of feels like something else. Like, it started out as one thing, and then like halfway through the first season into this season, it's like something else where it's almost like Star Trek or something. Where the TVA itself is like the ship, like the Enterprise, or it's like Starfleet, and it's all about being part of this like crew, this like TVA crew. And I mean, it's definitely treated like space, even though they're in like kind of time or in limbo. It definitely feels like they're kind of like on a station, like Deep Space Nine or something.
With that in mind,
yeah.
Have you ever kind of thought about how this could so easily turn into like an Exiles-like show?
I have not, but I mean, that's a really great fucking point. Mean,
I would kind of love that. That's one of my favorite obscure like corners of the X-Men universe. And it's just, you know, like you said, it's a ship. And then the idea that they can go anywhere in any universe and time. And I would kind of love if they had to go and fix things, you know, randomly in these universes. I don't think it would work that well in live action, because I think you would need all these other actors in the MCU to do it properly.
Yeah.
But it could have worked as like a what if sort of thing, maybe style. Sure. But I think about that a lot, especially in that comment you made about it being the TVA being sort of being the Enterprise really resonated with that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because of course I do all this fantasy booking, and we should point out to our viewers that like the Exiles comic, it was eventually revealed that these Exiles, who were essentially variants of X-Men characters, they all kind of served this guy. I think he was like the Time Broker or something, and he was this weird kind of bald dude that like worked with a bunch of like cockroaches in this like place that looked like Superman's Fortress of Solitude.
Well, I think he was a construct.
Oh, okay.
The Time Broker was a construct, but yeah, ultimately there were these weird bug things in this weird Fortress of Solitude thing. Yeah.
I mean, it would be super, super fucking exciting and awesome if like the TVA kind of falls and they can't handle things. And then these weird like bug creatures take over and it kind of segues into like X-Men characters. I mean, it would be an amazing, amazing fucking ending to this show or this season if like all of a sudden sort of like mutant characters start showing up. But I know that's not going to
happen. Yeah, that's a pipe dream.
Yeah. I'm going too far off the deep end. But with that being said, like it has gone from like Loki's kind of personal redemption story and focusing so much on him being the outsider to he's just a part of this ensemble cast, which is like this TVA cast.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, like OB is like my favorite addition to this cast. He's kind of like the engineer. He's like the Scotty, or you know, there's always an engineer character on each Star Trek show, but he's always like, we got to do this thing, then we got to reverse the polarities of this thing, and I kind of zone out when he's fucking explaining the plan. What about you?
Yeah, I kind of zone out too, and it's especially too, it's like the scene where Obi and Victor meet. It's like, oh, you, and then you know that whole paradox thing comes up, and Obi even says, oh, like the snake eating itself. Like it's a little on the nose there.
Right. Yes. Agreed. With that being said, though, the Victor Timely stuff, I'm actually really getting all into this. What about you?
Yeah, no, I am. You know, I think they were implying that Victor Timely was who would become He Who Remains.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting because he doesn't seem bad at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he seems like he wants to help, and but he's just very hesitant at the same time because everybody seems to want different things from him or want the same thing for different reasons. I'm still confused by, you know, what's different between what Renslayer wants to do and what the TVA crew wants to do.
Thank you. I thought about you exactly during this episode. I was like, yep, this is exactly what Brian's talking about. That scene when Renslayer makes it back to the TVA and all these people are prisoners of the TVA. They're this like little rogue faction. And then she's like, come join me and let's take back the TVA. And then she just basically slaughters all of them. And it's really gruesome for the MCU kind of scene.
Yeah. And they don't show it, but like the implication there that, oh my God, like I'm not a claustrophobic person, but when they were doing that to Brad Wolf in episode 2, I guess, that was uncomfortable to watch. This that enclosing space, but now imagine that with 30 people. Oh man.
Yeah, and it's fucked up. It's fucked up because you don't see it. They don't show it. They don't show the aftermath at all. They don't even kind of like show it like out of focus in the background or something. Like you just see people's reaction to it, and you see that Brad Wolf, that X5 guy, you just see his face as it's happening. It's all acting on his face, and he's just like, oh, it's a really great scene. And then you hear like the noise of the blood and stuff. That's really effective. I love that.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, I should point out too that this episode was directed by Benson and Moorhead, which I've mentioned them before when we discussed the show, but they are super creative directors. And like, I'm sure that's all them, the way they filmed that. But going back to the point that you were saying, it's like, what the fuck does Renslayer want to do that's different from what those rogue TVA people want to do that's different from Loki's people?
Yeah. Well, the rogue people wanted to prune all these new branches. They don't, and the Loki and Mobius crew, they want to kind of nurture this, all these new multiverses, because they realize that they're actually killing people. And I think, you know, Docs and that crew, they wanted to kind of stick to the previous status quo. I kind of get that, but I don't know what Renslayer, where that's where it confuses me, because it seems more like she wants to fix the loom to allow it to function properly, much like Loki and Mobius do. But right. I guess maybe just she wants to be in power and not anybody else, I guess. And you know, I was very surprised that the last episode ended in that cliffhanger where like, oh, Miss Minutes says like, oh, I know something that's going to make you really angry, and they opened the show with that, with that answer to that question, which is, you know, Renslayer helped He Remains get to where he was, and then he kind of cast them all off and wiped all their memories, which is kind of fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to Marvel. I don't know if like they're eventually not going to be able to complete their ultimate plans for this new saga. I don't know if that's going to happen or if they will, or if like the audience will be there, or if they're going to change things around. But to me, it's really interesting all the stuff they're doing with Victor Timely, that's sort of like making this character much more three-dimensional. And one thing that's really interesting about this Kang character, whether we're seeing like a variant of him in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, or the guy in this show, is that he is brilliant. He seems to want to do things based on his inventions, but he's also just like very cold and like self-serving.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't, I don't think we see that too much of that yet in this exact iteration of Victor.
Agreed. But like in the last episode, there was like at least two scenes where someone thinks they're like aligned with him and he's working with them. And then he's just basically like, oh, fuck you. I'm doing my own thing. You know?
True.
And this one is such an interesting thing because like he goes to get hot chocolate with this one TVA guy. It's this interesting scene because he like, I guess he like tweaks the hot chocolate machine and he gives it to the guy, and the guy gets pruned, and they're just doing this thing with it. It's just so weird to me because like Jonathan Majors, whenever I look at him, I just think about how, you know, did he assault women? Is he kind of this sort of angry, mean person, and everyone has to work around him and like his little stuttering and his quirks. And then he's playing this character that's kind of feeble, but then is also sinister. It's this really weird thing. Do you feel that way watching?
Yeah, you know, it's funny with that whole hot chocolate scene. I thought that was going to be like a sinister turn for him, but it was more just like circumstantial, and they just focused on hot chocolate oddly for a few minutes.
Right. See, to me, I'll always appreciate shit like that because it's different and weird and quirky versus just like, oh, we got to fit this into this fucking mythology. Like, I like when it's like weird, obscure shit. And like, it's just this weird scene where he like hands hot chocolate to this guy. And it's like there's this like reverence and you know, and then the guy drinks it. I don't know. It's so interesting. But like for this character, it's kind of like he can't control his own destiny because someone else has given him this book. And then he's destined to become this sort of super powerful, manipulative, evil guy. I think it's really interesting stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So who kills the guy? I forget who kills him.
X5.
X5, that's right. And then, yeah, and then, you know, essentially by the end of this episode, kind of everybody dies.
Yeah. And see,
I mean, at that point, when you see that many of the actors in the show die, you're like, oh, there's going to be some kind of reset. But, you know, it was shocking to see, you know, Renslayer get pruned first.
Right.
And I'm like, at that point, you're like, whoa, like that's kind of bold. Without really, you know, finishing her arc and completing her motives and all that. And then, you know, they're kind of arguing about who's going to go in and face this, you know, radiation thing that is going to rip people's faces off. Melt people's faces off, and then, you know, Victor Timely ultimately goes, and he's instantly like atomized, and that's when you kind of start thinking like, okay, and then, you know, everything starts exploding, and you see, you know, the last thing you see is Loki kind of looking at this white bright light, and that's when you kind of figure that, okay, they're not dead, they're gonna get rebooted or in some kind of time loop or something, like a Groundhog Day kind of thing, maybe.
Right, exactly. And so like I you know, we've seen so much media. We've consumed so much media. So when we see certain things, we have that exact reaction like you're talking about, where you're like, oh, okay, they're going to reset because they're not going to let this person die. And so when they killed off Renslayer, it was done in such a way where it's like he stabs her and she like gets pruned, but the camera's already kind of moving and following the rest of the action. So it's like, it's not like this focused death thing. So it's like, okay, they're not focusing on her death, so they probably are going to reset it. And then the part that I was so fucking confused about, I'm like, what is going on? I don't even know what I'm watching at this point. Was that like, you have this weird scene where Loki is trying to get to Sylvie, or he's trying to get to these doors, and Sylvie's coming out of the doors, and then Loki prunes himself, and then he says, it's all going to make sense. And I'm like, what the fuck is even going on?
Oh, well, I mean, that was from the first episode. You know, that was when Loki needed to prune, when Obi told him to prune himself with the green light so he can get sucked into the other timeline. That's kind of telling me they're caught in a loop. That's the exact scene that tells me they're that's the, I was going to reset to maybe where the first episode was or something. I don't know. And we're going to get some kind of Groundhog Day situation.
Oh, dude, you're 1,000% right. And thank you for reminding me too. Yeah. Yeah. It's totally going to begin like at the, okay, the beginning of the season again. Okay. I get you. Yeah. 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 Cause it is like a snake eating its own tail. It's just like kind of like a cycle. It's like the wheel of time. Yeah. Okay. I got you. In this interest of like, cause we're doing a marathon recording, I'm just trying to hit all the beats I wanted to discuss. Mobius. No, there's nothing.
Yeah, they talk about Mobius again and where his place in the timeline is, which again, he was Sylvie's manager. I'm sorry. There's no way it's not that. I'm fantasy booking. And I'm very disappointed if that's wrong because it's feasible. It makes sense. It's not something crazy like Mephisto, but that's going to be what it is. I guarantee it.
Okay. I like that though. I like that. And then, I think that pretty much actually covers everything for this episode I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, we only have two episodes left?
Two left.
Okay. Cool. Well, I actually enjoyed talking about it with you, and I will enjoy talking about episode 5 with you even more when it's not like, oh, we got to do all these different shows at once. Yes. So guys, make sure that you are with us for Loki episode 5, which will be coming your way next week.